Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Morning. From the second each of you were born, you came into contact with another human being. Almost every day after that, you did too. When we feel down, we long for a hug or crave touch. Physical contact brings a feeling of safety and trust. You may have been the person who consoled someone with a pat on the back, or maybe during a job interview, you shook hands with your potential employer to affirm your trustworthiness to them. We desire this because, as humans, contact with another not only makes us feel at ease, but helps us develop as emotional and social beings. When my brother was born, I got to hold him for the first time. That was the first time I had touched him ever, and it wouldn't be the last. But going forward in my life, some of those physical connections may not have been so loving. We were both there for each other if we needed a hug, even when we were younger, and even now sometimes. We learn from a young age to understand how a person is feeling or a message they wish to convey through touch. Imagine you're on a bus. There's a toddler. He seems scared or maybe worried. So his mother takes his hand in hers. She squeezes it softly to reassure him everything will be okay. Near them is an older woman. She sits quietly in a window seat, squished between the bus wall and a young man. She bumps the young man slightly with her elbow and a hip. He moves over a bit, realizing that she does not have enough room. Most humans can instinctively understand somebody's intent as they come into contact with each other. Now, you may go forth into the world and hug someone. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Helen Woody. At 17 years and 1 month old, I am between childhood and adulthood. As with every 11th grader who is looking at colleges, I think to myself, wow, this is not only going to impact me educationally, but it is also preparing me to become an adult. I can tell you right now, my first thought was, I am not ready to accept the responsibilities of adulthood. I do not desire the responsibility of having to pay taxes to the government every year, being responsible for my massive insurance bill that comes with having a cochlear implant on one ear and a hearing aid on another, or having to sit on jury duty. As a child, I had babysitters over the weekend, and these teenagers seemed like they were the coolest human beings on earth. Cooler than my parents, cooler than my teachers. Fast forward 8 years later, and I am the cool babysitter with the toys and ideas who are more radical than the kids' parents or teachers. How could this have happened? I certainly did not desire this to take place. However, I like being the cool babysitter who little kids look up to and have fun with. Better yet, you get paid for being a babysitter. This was my first thought that suggested being an adult might might not be so bad. Throughout my life, I have been involved in community service. I love volunteering, whether it is organizing a book drive for a school in Patterson, reading to kids in an after-school program, or spending an afternoon at the homeless shelter with the youth group. Through a combination of these activities, I realized I desired to make a difference in the world. I thought, maybe social work would be a cool job for me. It makes a difference in others' lives, and you can do it every day. I mean, being an adult cannot be so bad if you're helping others. Another thing to look forward to, voting. I really have the desire to vote. That is one great thing about being an adult. You actually have the opportunity to have a say in how this country is run. As high schoolers in Political Discussion Club at RHS, we often imagine what we would do if we had a say in what our government does, going from healthcare to foreign affairs. However, we do not have a say in the government because we cannot vote. Therefore, are all of our ideas about how to make this country better invalid? Are all of our ideas about how the world works, how we should treat others, how peace will form, how prejudices can be diminished, all of these desires for this world, are all of the desires for this world invalid because I am 17 years and 1 month old? Do I have to wait 11 more months until my voice can matter? My main desire is that adults in this congregation will hear the voices of our youth. Just because our youth group meets in the afternoon does not mean our voices do not exist. Make this year the year our voices can be heard. Let us know about peace rallies, signatures on petition for good causes. Ask what makes us tick, and we will ask what makes you you. This way, I do not have to wait 11 more months to be treated as an adult. We can be treated like adults now.
This was written by Charlotte Samuels, but she could not be here today, so I am reading on her behalf. Bright interchange, where desire lives in nostalgia. What travels with the astronauts in the locked cabin, tight with air pressure, sweat, and urine? What kind of debris? What reminds them of their bedside table and of home-cooked meals? Years from now, back on Earth, what will remind them of the starry black vat and the white batter moon? When I was little, we lived in a yellow house at the top of a hill, where we never had to suffer from the flooding. My first memory was the blood-colored deck with its enormous summer umbrella. And my last was the day I realized the trees in the backyard wouldn't be my trees anymore. In between this beginnings and end was simply a mess of planets, Land Before Time, John Denver, and ladybugs. Affixed to the sliding glass door that opened up onto the blood-colored deck was a masterpiece of stick-and-peel planets touched by little hands in an attempt to learn their names and perhaps their school picture height order. I imagined them, inflatable rafts, lonely and longing like me, aching to be picked up and placed on the window in the bloodlight of the sun. I remember holding Saturn in my palm, the curly rings the same as the ones in my hair, before pressing it hard into the PVC plastic like a brand new bruise. Each planet had its own personality. Jupiter needed two hands and was bigger than my head. Earth looked awfully familiar. Mars felt hot in my hands, even when it was pancaked against the northern winter raging on outside the door. When it was time to grow up, we got a different colored house on the other side of town. No one talked about planets. The ship sailed on. I tried not to spend too much of my childhood awestruck about how many stick and peels we were passing by on our yearly circuits. Sometimes the debris of the past was hard to swim through. At times, it felt thick, like tomato soup. How can you live in the leftovers of something you have once and always loved? For a long time, I thought nostalgia was about the loss of innocence and the inevitable journey into the dark. I used to long for the simple time as if it were simple at all, as if I were completely detached from the me I once was. I see now, nostalgia is for the self. The real journey is not away from corruption, but a journey home, to wholeness, to snippets and debris that shape us and reemerge time and time again. Nostalgia is a heavy stone in my backpack. It is an ache that has not left me. This kind of love, capable of being scattered through time, capable of transcending and moving and bending, the feeling of the planet in between my fingers, what it meant to belong in a little yellow house, sleeping in a bed so much bigger than me. The ache is what I desire to replicate in the cancer-like fashion. To reproduce, to live again, to bathe in and seethe in, to delete everything but. Sometimes I see a planet on the wall of the physics classroom or in the night sky, and I remember what it felt like in the pads of my fingers. I remember being little and having paws. It rekindles something in me, not only to hold that planet in my hands again, but to stand on it. What a mess of debris. Sometimes, if I look closely now, I can even see that planet with its singular red ring and uncomfortable, far-out glow spinning inside of me.
My name is Hannah, and like Helen, I'm also a junior in high school. That seems to encapsulate most of my identity these days. I'm sure that if you were to see me at coffee hour, you might ask me what colleges I'm looking at, or maybe inquire as to what I'm thinking about studying. And you wouldn't be the first to ask, or probably the last, because these are questions I ask myself almost daily, because frankly, I have no idea, and I would really like an answer. Today in our service, we're talking a lot about what a healthy spiritual feeling desire is. And it's all well and good to have your many desires affirmed, but it's a little frustrating if you're like me and lacking a little in the desire department. There are plenty of things that I desire, like an extra hour of sleep or more time to read, but when it comes to dreams and aspirations for my life, I'm a little lost. It's funny though, because when I think about my future, I see myself having figured it all out. I'm living a great life, I've studied my life's passion, whatever that may be, and working in a job that I love. I guess I've assumed that one day I'll wake up and feel a pull to a certain academic field, or I'll have an epiphany where suddenly it will all make sense. However, I'm getting a little impatient waiting for that to happen, and I've come to the unfortunate conclusion that, as nice as it sounds, maybe it doesn't work quite like that. Recently, like this week recently, I've decided that enough was enough. I'm done scoffing at my peers who are already passionate about a certain field, who are incessantly going on college visits every weekend, or those who are burning the midnight oil studying for the SATs. You know what? Good for them. They know what they want, and they aren't afraid to go get it, which is more than I can say about myself. Their tenacity and hard work is going to pay off for them, whereas my go with the flow, whatever happens is fine, apathetic outlook isn't doing me any favors. So I brought home the Fisk Guide to Colleges and sat myself down and read the whole thing. I made a spreadsheet of schools that made me actually feel a little spark of desire, which is a good feeling. I've spent time perusing these schools' websites, checking out fun things like Farmers Market Thursday, but also serious things like major options and special programs. I was absolutely shocked to find that I was interested in quite a few things, that I didn't need a sudden epiphany of realization. Unknown to me, there was a teeny tiny spark of desire burning in me all this time that had only needed a little attention from me to grow. It's not quite yet a roaring passionate fire, but I find that the more that I feed it, the bigger and brighter it gets. So my question to you today is, what do you desire, and what are you going to do about it?